If you have a Bible, turn with me to a very familiar scripture. Isaiah 54 and 17. Very familiar. I'm sure that everyone has read this several times, have quoted it in prayer. But sometimes we forget the existence of this promise that God gives to us. Even though it was given to Israel, Israel being the bride, did not really fulfill some of the things she was supposed to do. But then God began to look at her and receive her back. And one of the promises that he said there is something that I embrace often in prayer for people, for my family, for myself. And I want you to embrace this and make this part of your life again. Stop letting the enemy's weaponry get through to you. Now help me this morning. Help me to understand it is important to know that God wants to protect you and I at all times. Don't get to a place, you know, a weapon can be arrogance. A weapon can be jealousy. A weapon can be competitiveness. A weapon can be judgment and gossip. A weapon can be those things that we allow out of our own hearts to become the leader in our thoughts. But God doesn't want that in our life. He wants you to be highly encouraged that you're special before the Lord. You're a wonderful group of people. You are God's people. We are God's friends. That breath in our lungs is His breath, giving us the ability to praise. I can't think for a moment before I read the scripture. I can't think for a moment what it would be like to be without God. Even through the most difficult times. How many understand that there are times where you just don't understand the times? It gets to a place where you just wonder, when is this going to end? But God wants us to know that this promise that I'm going to read right now, please hear it in the Spirit as it's being read. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from me, says the Lord. No weapon, no words. Amen. Nothing can hurt you. Amen. No attack of the devil, no matter how raging and violent it may seem emotionally, can prosper in you. Say this with me. I'm God's child. And I believe what He says. Amen. You know, the promise of the Lord is really powerful in our lives. Men make promises, they got holes in them. They're like pie crusts, easily made and easily broken. People make promises. I think right now if I wanted to begin to make this statement properly is that if I asked everyone to raise your hands, how many times promises have been broken to you by people, everyone would raise their hand. I don't think anybody would say, oh no, that never happened to me. But God has never failed you and I. Here at this church. Ever has He failed us. No matter how emotional distraught we may be. or how full of the greatest joy and rejoicing that we may have in our hearts at this very moment, he has never failed us. I love what David said. I was young and now I am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the children begging bread. Wow. That's amazing to me. And if you really want to get into something today, if in your private area of prayer today, or if you get bored throughout a Sunday, or whatever it may be, either side of that, read Psalm 91 slowly. 18 blessings in 16 verses just for you and I. Praise God. And you know, one of those is this. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the hunter. You know, the devil is like a roaring lion looking to whom he may devour. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the hunter and from the deadly pestilence. Sets you free. The enemy can't get through your guard of prayer. The enemy can't get through the shield of faith whereby you lift up after you have put on the breastplate of righteousness and gird your feet with the gospel of peace and placed around your loins that truth. You lift up the shield of faith. And that shield of faith shall quench every fiery dart of the enemy. None of them get through, lest your faith is weak. And you pick up a helmet of salvation, literally stating that I have this knowledge that I am saved. Don't mess with me, devil. I'm saved. I've got the word of God in mine heart that I may not sin against him. I am saved. I can walk down a path in the darkness and his lamp and his light will guide me. I am saved. I can go through the valley of the shadow of death and he is with me and his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I am saved. Praise God. Don't let the enemy trick you and try to give you these thoughts that you may not be able to be anything. You're already something. I'll never make it to the other side now. You're already there, praise God. Hallelujah. I can't get to that pressing now. I'm too weary holding on. Let go and press forward. Praise God, because God loves you. No prosperity given to any weapon that is formed against you. None. You know, prosperity is a big word in the body of Christ. When we talk about prosperity, most people all of a sudden think material possessions and money. But that's not what God is talking about. Prosperity is having favor of the Lord. Prosperity is knowing your relationship with God, and the enemy cannot get to you. It's almost like Nehemiah saying to Sanballat and Tobias and the friends that were down at the bottom of the ladder, I'm too busy to come down. I'm building the wall that's going to protect this city, hear me spiritually, from being attacked and destroyed. I'm just too busy to listen to you, devil. Go away. Our general overseer said something the other day, and I read it, and I thought, you know what, Dr. Hill, that was really cool. He put a minute message out there, and the name of it was, Shut Up, Devil. I just like that, you know. We sometimes just want to, you know, we want to be all favorable and mannerable to the devil by saying, Be quiet. Shut up, devil. Get away from my household. Get away from my children. Get away from my heart. Get away from my mind. You know, see, my mind is renewed daily by the Word of God. I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ that cannot be broken. And you're not invited, devil. You have no way. You cannot prosper in my life. You see, I love what it says, any tongue. In other words, speech that is stated. A look is a look. You know, sometimes you get a look. Looks are looks. You know, a look can't hurt you. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You've heard that, right? That's a classic American thing. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. The speech that is, it is stated in judgment, you shall yourself condemn. You can say, don't, no, I return this to you. In other words, don't rehearse it, don't curse it, but reverse it. Praise God. And let the enemy know he has no power, not only in your life, but your family's life. Shut up, devil. Get off my front porch. Get out of my land. Get out of my house. Get out of my car. Get off my employment agency. Get out of here. Get out. You have no right in my life. Now listen, we're going someplace in a minute. This is the heritage, the inheritance, or the legacy. This is our legacy. I want to know that our church has a legacy that the devil never had his way. Somebody help me here. Amen. That we have the power, we have an inheritance. I mean, the Bible says in the book of Romans in chapter 8, I believe somewhere in verse 16, that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. Joint heirs in law means that whatever one heir gets, the other one gets the same. My goodness gracious. Sometimes I just want to shout and run and have a little Pentecostal experience when I hear that. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I am not poor. I may not have the biggest bank account in the world, and it may be sometimes during the month. Kathy and I have got to look at each other and say, we can't do anything this month. There's a lot of things. We had a large propane bill. We got other things going on, and we just don't have any extra money to do anything. How many's been there? But we are rich in Jesus Christ. We are rich in the Spirit because the Bible says that we are blessed in heavenly places. With all spiritual blessings. Amen. My God, that's ours. That's our promise. We should walk with the confidence and with the step of a child of God that knows what the relationship is. And the enemy has no prosperity in our life. The weapons cannot prosper against us. Amen. To those who serve the Lord, that's our legacy. Their vindication, the justification and acquittal that comes our way, comes from the Lord, not men. Stop looking for approval of people. People's approval doesn't last long. You know, when I was younger, I used to teach the younger ones a long time ago. But I haven't used it in a long time. But it's simply, I told them this, when you're going into the ministry, you live in between a halo and a noose. Amen. And that's where you're at. Everybody thinks, you know, pastors, we just kind of walk around and, you know, everything's halo-ish all the time. No, a lot of times we're walking around and yet why we don't speak to you because we're going, where the noose has got us and it's going after us. But let me tell you something. You know how you get rid of the noose? You untie it. You know how you keep the halo? You just pray that the next noose doesn't come. But what I'm saying to you is to remember there's no prosperity for the weapons that come towards you. There's a scripture that reigns in my heart often. Let me read it to you. And I just love this. You know, God placed this in my heart and I was so thankful that He just gave us a personal message. I'm recording it. It'll go up on the internet. But I want you to know it's our message. Somebody say, it's our message. Isaiah 59 and 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know, when he'll hit you like a flood. But I want you to know, a flood hits a wall, and that wall is the standard of the Holy Ghost saying, no! Amen. These people, this church, this individual belongs to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is conviction in a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He is able to save all those that come to Him by the Father's direction. He is able to bestow mercy on our life 24/7. He is able to keep our place in glory fresh and new and untarnished with gold and gems and beauty that we've never yet seen when your name is on that mansion door. God loves you. A standard. You know, the Word of God is a standard. My children said to me one time, Dad, even though we're not living really right now, and you know it, but you and Mom have lived a life, and that is our standard that we look to, that we know that when we need to get back, that standard is there. And that's your testimony. That's the praise that you can give God. That's the enjoyment that you can have in a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And by the way, the Savior of the world, the Savior of your soul, the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. That's who you are. Praise God. That's who you are. Praise God. That's who every one of you are. A child of the living King. He is the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God. He is our Father who art in heaven. He is Jesus, our God, forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord brings us victory every time. And as a matter of fact, can I take it one more step? The Lord is our victory every time. We are valiant by the hand of the Lord. Valiant. Listen to this. Psalm 108, 12 through 13. Grant us help against the foe. It's a prayer. You know, when you feel attacked, I mean, you know, sometimes you just feel attacked. And the enemy's invisible. I'm not talking about human attacks. I'm talking about spiritual attacks that you can't hold in your hand or embrace. But it's literally, we have to understand that grant us help against the foe. You see, our way of fighting, to put it simply, is not by hammers and guns and all the other things and knives. Our weaponry is spiritual. To the tearing down of strongholds and the wicked hosts in high places. Tearing down, not lifting up. You see, the enemy wants us to lift him up because we agree with his attacks because they get to us and we get emotionally broken. I don't agree with what the enemy tries to do to this church. He needs to get out. He needs to go. He has no authority here. The only spirit is allowed in this church is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The only power that is allowed in this church is the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The only Savior that is allowed in this church is the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. And the only God that we worship is God the Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Every song that we sing is an honor to God for what He's done for us. For the help of man is worthless. Let me read that. Grant us help against the foe. For the help of man is worthless. It is. Worthless. God help us. Give us what we need. Through God we shall be valiant, for He shall tread down our enemies. You see, if God's in the battle with us, we can't lose. But if we're out there fighting this battle without the help of God, we're going to be just like when they crossed over and they took down Jericho. Oh, what a mighty step that was. Put their feet in the water. Water separated. One and a half tribes stayed back. The other ones went forward. They march around a city called Jericho. They do these things that seem foolish. Marching with the priests in order and the trumpets going and the people following. And the shofar's blowing. The seventh day, they go around seven times, and then all of a sudden they wait for Joshua to say, shout. They shout, and the walls get pressed right down. But that builds up confidence. I would say to me that if I was there, I would have said, wow, I'm feeling pretty confident right now. We didn't even fire a cannon. We didn't have cannons. We didn't throw rocks. We didn't have rocks big enough. We shouted unto the Lord. You see, I believe something, and please don't take this as a reproof. I know you believe this way. The shout needs to return to this church.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to shout. Well, we may scare someone. No, you may scare the devil out of them, but you're not going to scare them because God's going to bless them. The shout. R.W. Schombach, one of the greatest evangelists that I've ever heard preach, has gone on to be with the Lord. Used to preach in Oakland in tent revivals. He used to say a sentence like this. If you got a problem, if you got an issue, if the devil's attacking you and he seemed to have you walled in, shout it down. Shout it down. Don't whisper it down. Don't say please. Shout it down. And I believe the shout needs to return to the church in America.
Amen.
You know, there are times we are brought to a place of choice. Now listen. And that place we are offered rest. Jeremiah 6:16. We're brought here. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Now some of you have never heard this scripture, I would believe. Stand in the ways and see. Stand there in the ways of the Lord and see what God can do. And ask for the old paths, the ancient paths. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. I'm telling you, this modern warfare that somehow the churches across America has got going is not the old paths. We need a fire of Pentecost to go from the west coast to the east coast, from the bottom of Mexico to the top of North America. We need revival by fire in America. We need the old paths again, praise God. Yeah. Where the good way is, walk in it. The church has got to stop walking in the bad way. How did that happen? Because the weaponry the devil is using is breaking through, because we forget that it cannot prosper, so go away. Get out. Shut up. Leave us alone. Leave my family alone. Leave my children alone. Leave my grandchildren alone. Leave my daughter alone. Leave. Just go. Get out. He said, "Preacher, do you ever yell at the devil like that?" Oh, yes, I do. I tell him to get off my property all the time. You know what? I put angels around my property. I put angels of strength and valor with swords and fiery chariots to surround my property as like linked chains. I put them on every exit and every entrance to our home, which includes windows, sliding glass, deck door, garage entrance from the house, the back door going out of the garage, every door, every chimneys. Then I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the property and all those who dwell therein. And then I ask God to spread his wing of protection over that property. And then I remind the devil on his way out, "You're not welcome here, because the only spirit that welcome here is the Holy Ghost." You don't do that. Oh, yes, I do. And I also say, "Don't hang around my mailbox at the end of the road, because you're not going to be in my mailbox either. Get out." You're a radical preacher. Yes, I am, because this devil that we fight is radical. He's done a damage to the church in America. Prayer out of schools. To go down a list, I will not right now, but that's one of the main things that they had happen. Then the passing of all these laws of immorality. The divisiveness that he has brought to our nation and to our relationships. He's been a busy little devil. But we have a greater God that can bring it all back together by one word. Hallelujah. One word by saying, "I am He."
Hallelujah.
Breathe upon us here at this church. Breathe upon the Bay Area. Breathe upon California, Nevada. Breathe upon this nation of the United States of America. Breathe upon Canada. Breathe upon South America. Breathe upon El Salvador. Breathe upon Mexico. Breathe on this world. We need revival. The enemy has no power in our life. He cannot prosper. Listen, he said, "Where the good way is, and walk in it." And listen what he promises. Now listen, and we need this. We need this. Because I know in my spirit what it is to wrestle and not sleep well. I know in my spirit what it is to pray for people and sense in my spirit that they are wrestling with giants that are trying to tear them apart in their families and discourage them and cause them to think maybe God doesn't really care. I know how the human mind works. I know what the emotions are like. I know how heavy the attacks can be. But listen to what he says here. "With you, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path where the good way is and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls." We need to be in the Word. You know, this is going to sound radical, but I don't care, because I believe in radical. When I can't sleep sometimes, I grab a Bible that I have at the house, my favorite Bible. This one I use here is a gift that we're looking into throughout this whole year, the Modern English Version. The Church of God is using it, and we were gifted it. But I take that Bible, I open it up, I just put it on my heart when I feel the attack of the enemy is so strong, and I'm wrestling. And lo and behold, when that word lays upon my heart, that enemy stops. What are you saying, Pastor? What are you saying, Preacher? Use the word. Get to know the word and use the word to stop the enemy coming into your home, coming into your bedrooms, coming into your heart, coming into your prayer closet. Pray with power. Pray the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But listen, what Israel said, and this is not our testimony, and if it is yours, reverse it right now. But they said, we will not walk in it. See, America has been offered this, and America has said, we will not walk in it. What do you believe, that the Lord spoke to people in America? I'm not saying that. I'm saying people that know this book and know the Word of God, no matter what transliteration you may use. From the old King James to the NLT to the Amplified, whatever. There's so many that know this word have chosen not to walk in this word. And there's no rest if you don't walk in the Word of God. There's no rest if you don't pray the Word of God. You know, Pastor, what do you mean by praying the Word of God? You know, it's so simple. People get confused. You open up the book of Psalms and you kneel down and you begin to read. It is a prayer unto God. David's Psalms are prayers. Read John 17. It reminds the devil that we are one with God as Jesus is one with us, and we are one together because Jesus is one with God first. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against you. No weapon formed against you. Now look at, you can look at it like this as you walk with God, where all of a sudden doubt and fear are just ahead. And you got to make a choice. Doubt and fear are just ahead. They're there. And you got to make a choice. You get a warning. Doubt and fear are coming. God always warns His children. He is a good father. If you want to study the Bible with me, we'll sit down with it. I'd love to do that with you. But, you know, we've got great Bible teachers in the church. And, you know, I don't need to have the whole show. I don't really like having the whole show. But my point being is that if you want to sit down and study this Bible, you're going to see that God always says a warning first. Because He sees what's coming. We see what's coming. Doubt and fear are coming. Doubting God can do it, and I'm afraid of this devil. I'm afraid of the outcome. That's what I liked about Nehemiah. He was not afraid of the outcome because he knew he was called to do something that was going to take everything he knew what to do, and he was willing to learn what he did not know how to do so it could be accomplished. Did you just hear that? And you know what he said throughout the book of Nehemiah? God, remember the good things that I have done. I pray that sometimes with God. God, remember the good things I've done. I'm under attack. Remember the good things that I've done. My children are getting attacked. Remember the good things that I've done. He said, what are you praying for your children for? Because they're my responsibility no matter how old they are. Read the Bible. Jacob praying for his children. Read the Bible blessing them. Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. And he came and he laid hands on all of them. Read the word where it says, God promises to bring all the children back into your corral. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, I just love it to know this. But let me read something. So when doubt and fear is on your route, just say, get out. Get out. Because I'm accepting the ancient paths, the old paths. I am not saying we will not. I am saying we will walk in those paths. Because those are the proven paths. America has chosen paths that have not been proven. We need in our church to walk in the proven paths. Why, Pastor? Because there is safety in it. There is safety in prayer. There is safety in the word. There is safety when you get on your knees and pray. There is a safety when you do what God wants you to do and you obey Him daily. There is safety. I found this last night and I just want to read it to you. Mother Teresa. I love this. She's my superstar, by the way. Because, you know, many of you know and some of you have worked along our side and we're thankful for it in Compassion Ministries. This is the superstar. I can't even read her name without crying. Of Compassion Ministries. If you judge people. Now, that's why I'm using this because she's saying it. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. You see, judgment is a weapon from the devil. So is jealousy. So is criticism. If you have, you never have time to love people. And if you do all that stuff, you forget how much you love them. Father, let me say it. We need to fall back in love again in our house here. I said it. We need to fall back in love again in this place. Hallelujah. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. Let me fall back in love with you. Please fall back in love with Kathy and I. Look across the room and please fall back in love with one another. We have no right. It's the devil. He has caused difficulties. He has called separation. He is by his nickname, the separator. He has caused separation in our life. He has come into our homes and into our hearts and into our minds and started things that were not there. Let me tell you something. Get out, devil. Shut up, devil. There's no room in this house for you, devil. Let's fall in love again.
Amen.
Amen. Let me close by saying something. This choice is always ours. The nation, the church, families, and individuals have chosen not to choose the ancient paths. There is an easier way, one that is not so complicated, and that's why people choose the new paths. It's not as complicated. You know, walking with God is not complicated, but it takes obedience. And our makeup is a makeup of disobedience. I mean, it literally... what's the right word I want to use here? Brings worry and confusion in my heart and wonder all at the same time is when I see my grandchildren disobey so easily. When I see my children disobey so easily. When I see people in the body of Christ disobey so easily. You see, obedience is not complicated. It takes commitment. It takes commitment to obey God. That's what it takes. So I guess the question is, what is your choice? What is my choice? Or what is our choice? This is what the Lord wanted me to speak to you today. To encourage you that He loves us. Let us not say we will not walk in that path. Let us walk in that path that is paved with love, kindness, mercy, and the power of God's protection, the shadow of the pinions of His wings, that no evil shall befall us and no plague will come near our dwelling and no disaster shall be upon our path. And if anything like that does happen to us because these things come into our homes, into our lives, we cannot control everything. But God is in control of everything, and He can bring comfort to anyone. He can help us. Let 1,000 fall to your left and 10,000 to your right. We love Him because He first loved us. What's your choice today? Let's fall in love. A church that loves, the devil can't even get close to. No weapon was the name of this message. No weapon. Let us pray.